Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to go over just a few announcements with you all before we do get started. So Brother Caleb, right here, will be opening up the youth building from 2 p.m. until 5:30 p.m. each Wednesday night, inviting anyone to come in and pray for the students. If anyone has questions or would like more information, please see Brother Caleb, okay? And he's doing well this morning. I was really worried about him, and man, he's doing exceptionally well. And you told me he was doing okay. And then anyway, Georgia lost. But anyway, it was a good game. It come back, so. And Kentucky won. But anyway, the monthly ladies' luncheon will be held on Friday. I can only do that a couple more times. So the monthly ladies' luncheon will be held on Friday, October the 18th at 11:30 a.m. at Strickland's in Paducah. Please see Diana Swinford. Diana, raise your hand. All right. To know if you plan to attend, this will be the last time for the ladies until the lunch after the holidays, okay? Our annual fall festival will be held on Sunday, October the 27th. If you would like to participate in the Trunk or Treat, please sign up at the welcome desk as soon as possible. Also, Jeremy Burnett wanted me to share with you all that this Saturday is the fishing tournament. And so if you would like more information about the fishing tournament, please see Jeremy Burnett about that. If you'd like to get a boat in there and get out there and get to fishing and win that big bass or whatever, see Jeremy and get signed up for that. Also, Kenny Forthman has the tickets for whoever's going to the movie today. And so he does have some extra tickets if you would like to go. So see Kenny Forthman about that at the end. Also, I just want us to pause and pray for those families in and around Asheville, North Carolina, from the storms that come up from the hurricane. I pray for those in Florida that was affected all the way up through Georgia and Tennessee. I've seen where there have been people who are missing. There are homes that are destroyed, places where you can't get in or out. And so we just need to pause this morning and just pray for all of those. Pray for our linemen who are out trying to get power restored. Pray for our first responders who are trying to get to those folks and they're putting their own lives at risk trying to get to them. And there are a lot of volunteers who are just trying to help too. So we need to pray for all of those folks this morning before we do get started. I also want to say thank you for those who come this morning to visit me. This is my second to last sermon in the pulpit. Next Sunday will be my last Sunday. And so thank you all for being there for me. And it means a lot. It means a lot to have Sheriff here with me and Chief from Benton and Marshall County, to have my doctor, Danny Butler, here with me, and Brad Hausman, a great friend of mine also. And I don't want to leave anyone out. But during COVID, these two helped me so much in navigating through so much, because I'm not a doctor, no. And so you go to the ones who do know and do your best to navigate through that. And I'll forever be grateful for that. It was really tough. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, as we bow in your presence now and as we prepare to worship you, we pause for a moment right now and just lift up all of those families that have been devastated by this hurricane. And Father, there are some who are even missing at this time, Lord, and we pray that they may be found safe, Lord. And Father, we do know that there are many who lost their lives through this, Lord. And Father, we pray for those families who are having to move forward without someone that they love with them. And so, Father, we pray that you would bring grace and comfort, Lord. We pray for all of those linemen that are out trying to restore power to the homes and to the communities. We pray for all the first responders who are out looking and trying to protect at the same time. Lord, we pray for their safety and all those who are volunteering just to go and be a helping hand. We pray for those Christian organizations who are going in and setting up food places and water stations. Lord, we pray that the gospel will go out. And Father, that your name would be known and your name would be great. And Father, even in the midst of tragedy, we look for the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, now as we worship You in song, we pray that these songs will speak to our hearts and draw us closer to Your side, Lord. Be with us as we open up this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. And Lord, that You teach us what we need to know and understand this morning. We give You all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together and worship Him.
Morning, everyone. Let's lift up our voices and worship together. There is power in the blood.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
This is from 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story.
May be seated. If we can have some ushers come as we worship now with our tithes and our offerings. I also want to say this too, that I hear that there is a retirement party at 5:30 tonight over in our family life building. Bonnie wanted me to also say, if you're taking part in a skit of that, she wants you to be here at 4:30. So I want to invite you all back tonight at 5:30 for the retirement party. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jason, would you bless this offering?
Dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walk upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. Then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm in heaven today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to Lord, I am so glad you gave. One by one they came, as far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices you made, they go unnoticed on the earth, and heaven now proclaims. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you. Great is your reward.
Amen.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad that you gave. I am so glad you gave.
Did that to me on purpose, didn't he? Thank you, John. What a song. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians. We will be in Philippians chapter 1 mainly, but then we will be all over the book of Philippians. Can you imagine having to write a letter to someone who is not doing what they should be doing, who's not behaving the way they should be behaving? You know, back in the day, you wrote letters. You don't write as many letters today as you did back then. But the Apostle Paul wrote many letters. And some of the letters that he wrote were not so good to the church. As a matter of fact, he was writing to scold the church or to correct the church in their way of thinking, in their way of doing, and all of that. And so he would write that letter to them. But this letter that he wrote to the church at Philippi was totally different. And I've been praying over the past few weeks about what to preach on the last two Sundays. What I could share with you all, and how I can encourage you as you continue walking in your relationship with the Lord. I've asked the Lord to give me what He wants me to share, and I just kept going back to the book of Philippians. You got to realize and understand that the book of Philippians is written, of course, by the Apostle Paul. And it wasn't under just normal circumstances. Paul wrote this while he was in prison. And he wrote this under strained circumstances. But this was a letter of encouragement. This was a letter to the church at Philippi who was meeting Paul's needs, who were meeting Paul's needs through a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus, we know, he took ill and almost died, but he wanted to extend to Paul some of the gifts that the church was giving to Paul to help him during these troubling times. And so Paul was really encouraged by the church at Philippi, and he wanted to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. And that's what I want to do this morning more than anything else, is that I want to encourage you in your walk with Christ. I want you to be strengthened in your walk with Christ. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be uplifted. And when I look at the church at Philippi, I'm just going to be honest, and maybe I have a little bit of partiality here because I love Waldo so much. I kind of see Waldo like the church at Philippi. When I've been here in the 15 years that I've been here, what I have really seen and noticed more than anything else is your love for everyone else. Your love to help someone else, whether it's building a ramp or whether it's sending some food to someone or whether it's meeting an electric bill that someone has. You always have risen to the occasion of being able to help someone in the community. And sometimes it's not even in the community. Sometimes it may be in someone else's community or whatever, but you have always been a church with a great heart to help meet the needs of others. Well, in this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, and there's a lot of things that we're going to see, so I'm going to kind of be like a shotgun this morning. I'm going to scatter, but I'll try to bring us in toward the end. But as we look at the verse 12 of chapter 1, Paul says this, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." What has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. Now, when we're walking through this, I want us to see, what does that mean to advance the gospel? What has happened to me? He's in jail. He's on his probably his last tenure of being in jail. He faced death all day long, every day. But he's in jail and he's writing this. And what he's saying is, what has happened to me has advanced to serve the gospel. It means that the other Christians have become bolder in their walk because of your faith, Paul. Do you know that by your faith, and your strength in the faith, that it encourages and emboldens other believers to walk faithfully in Christ? So when we're talking about advancing the gospel, and I'm going to ask you a question, I'm going to ask you multiple questions as we go through this. So in your life, do you see yourself as one who is advancing the gospel? So when we watch a football game, yesterday was a great day for some. I'll just leave it there, not paying attention. But I'm talking about football in general. The goal of a football game is for the offensive team to march the football down the field to a touchdown. And a lot of times that looks different at different plays. Sometimes it could be one play that they advance it all the way down, and sometimes it could be 20 plays and a whole quarter that they get down there. But the whole goal is to advance the football 10 yards to get a first down, and then 10 yards to get a first down. And so what they're doing is they are advancing that football forward. But you got to realize too, what if there was no opponent? It would be no problem to advance the football. There's no one in front of you. But the problem is you have an opponent. And some of the teams have big opponents. They have big giants right there on the line. And it's hard to break through that line. And so you have an enemy, and I have an enemy of the gospel. There is someone who is opposing you, who is trying to get you to go backwards and not forwards. I don't know what it is or who it is or what's going on in your life that's causing you to go backwards. Now, we know that sometimes the quarterback, what, gets sacked. And sometimes they'll run in the backfield instead of going forward. They go sideways and then they get hit. And what's that called? That's called losing yards. That they didn't go forward, they actually went backwards. Let's think about this in our Christian life. There are times in our life when we'll make it 3 to 5 to 10 yards. But then there's times in our life, man, we never saw it coming. I mean, whammo, all of a sudden you get sacked and you get hit and you get knocked down. And I mean, it has literally knocked the breath out of you. Have you ever been in life and the breath been knocked out? The Bible says do everything without arguing and complaining. He wasn't complaining about his situation. He wasn't complaining about his circumstances. He wasn't pointing fingers. He wasn't doing this. You know what he was doing? He was advancing the gospel. That was his whole mindset. That was his whole frame. Why? Because this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. His story, his life is all about Jesus. If you surround yourself with life about you, you're not going to go that far. But when you surround yourself with life about Christ, it changes your whole perspective. It changes life in general. Why? Because you now have a goal in mind. You see the finish line. You see the touchdown. You know which direction you're heading in. And so here Paul is saying that what has happened to me has literally advanced the gospel. You see, I want us to, I hope you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, because in chapter 1, there's four chapters here. In chapter 1, Paul's talking about Christ is his life. Christ is his life. So when we go through this and we look at this, I want you to ask yourself the question, I ask myself the question, is Jesus Christ my life? Or is he just a part of my life? You see, Jesus doesn't play second fiddle to anything or anyone. The Bible says that he is a jealous God. And that if he's not your life and he's just a part of your life, then your whole goal and your whole focus should be that Christ is your life. Everything, when someone squeezes you, Christ comes out. So chapter 1 is Christ is Paul's life. Chapter 2 is Christ is Paul's model. Well, we need a model, don't we? I know I do. In chapter 2, it's going to be talking about Christ is that servant model. And I know that I won't get to finish the whole book of Philippians, but hopefully over the next 2 Sundays, that will give us enough to be able to have a study on through this month, that you will be able to continue studying that Christ is your life, Christ is your model. Chapter 3 is Christ is Paul's goal. That's his goal. And in chapter 4, Christ is Paul's contentment. That he learned to be content in every situation. In everything that's going on, he learned contentment. That his satisfaction wasn't in his happiness, but his satisfaction was in the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. How many times has God rescued you? How many times has God been to your aid? How many times has God comforted you? How many times has God lifted you and carried you through this hard time in your life, through that sack of life and through that losing yardage? He has been there for you. And so the theme of the book of Philippians, it is all about a 3-letter word. And it's joy. It's joy. I mean, think about that. How ironic is that? Prison, joy. Chained, joy. I mean, many of us would have a Eeyore face on. But no, not Paul. It was Tigger. I mean, he looked at the joy in his Jesus first, others second, what? You last. That is joy. Is it when you put Jesus first and others second and you last, which is Christ's motto in chapter 2, and then you last. In verse 5 of chapter 1, he mentions his partnership with the gospel. That he is partnering with the gospel. You know, we're doing this together. Christianity isn't about Lone Ranger Christianity. Christianity isn't about doing it all on your own and doing it yourself. You can't do it on your own. That's why he's called together the ecclesia. That's why he's called together the church, the body of Christ. That we come together this morning as wood comes together and is on fire. It burns hotter what? Together. A campfire burns hotter together. When that fire begins to go out, what happens? That wood begins to separate. And it doesn't burn well on its own. But what do? You get the poker. And you start poking that wood back up. And you get that fire going together. Why? Because you burn hotter and brighter when you're together. And we see that this is a partnership together in Philippians. In verse 7, Paul is mentioning that he is defending and confirming the gospel. The gospel again is the good news. Verse 12, his goal is to advance what? The gospel. Verse 16, he is put here for the defense of the gospel. Verse 27, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Chapter 2, verse 22, Timothy is serving with me in what? The work of the gospel. And so, Paul is all about the gospel. It's all about the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It's not Jesus and or Jesus plus this. It is Jesus plus nothing equals everything in my life. And that's what Paul is saying. So let's get to kind of the nuts and bolts of things. Number one, Paul was a threat to the government and to the religious leaders. He was a threat. So much so that they would arrest him. He was in chains for the gospel. He was in chains for the gospel. Why? Because what happens when someone comes to Christ who is making money for the government, and now all of a sudden they have a new heart, a new mind, and they don't do that anymore, you're costing them money. Their life has changed. And then all of a sudden, these men who have come, according to Acts, these men who have come, and what are they doing? They're upsetting the world. When you walk with Christ, because He's your life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to upset the world. Because you're going in a totally different direction that the world is going in. And they're going to look at you as strange. And they're going to look at you as aliens. And they're going to look at you as different. But I want you to know that Jesus said, if the world hates me, it will also hate you. If the world loves you, something is wrong. Something is wrong. That your life should automatically, at being born again, your life looks totally different than the world. And so Paul wouldn't be such a threat if he was lazy with the gospel. He wouldn't be such a threat if he was lazy with his walk with the Lord. I mean, whenever a team goes out on the field, they don't go out there not prepared. I mean, how crazy would that be to go out there with no preparation? Yeah, I mean, we can just wing it. We can handle it. No, you're going to get ate up. You better have preparation. And preparation comes with time, and time in learning what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian, and learning that Satan uses some of the same old tactics. You know he don't have to come up with new ones because the old ones still work. I mean, how many times do you battle with some of the old things? The old things that he keeps bringing up over and over and over again. If you're not prepared to go against the opposing team or Satan and the enemies, he will eat your lunch. And so you're not to be lazy with the gospel. You see, Paul's critics were concerned with Paul because of his zeal for Jesus. Because of his zeal for Jesus. Because of his excitement for Jesus. When I'm reading this, I always talk to myself. I don't know if that's bad or good. So long as I don't answer myself, right? But I ask myself the question, do I have a zeal for Jesus? Do I have an excitement for Jesus? Do I get more excited about the win of a game than my relationship with Jesus? Now I'm saying it's not wrong to be excited about the win of a game. But when you get excited about these things more than you get excited about your relationship with Jesus, something's not adding up. With Paul, it was his zeal that put him where he was. It was his zeal and his love and his excitement for Jesus Christ that caused him to be in chains. You see, Paul's zeal stemmed from his love for Jesus. The closer you get to Christ, the more you know about Christ, you know what? The more you're going to love Him. You don't love someone as much if you're never around them. If you never talk to them. If you never spend time with them. You love through spending time and through communication and through talking. And so his zeal was his love for Christ, for his love also for others. He didn't just love Christ. He loved others. And the reason he loved others is because of his love for Christ. You know, he saw himself as a huge sinner. He said, what? I am the greatest of sinners. He saw himself as the greatest of sinners, and he saw Jesus as the greatest of saviors. That Jesus rescued him on the road to Damascus, and he was going down a dead-end road, and it was just a matter of seconds that he would die eternally lost until Jesus stepped in. And Jesus took his dead heart and he made it alive. And for that, Paul will forever be grateful. And he is going to live out the rest of his life living for the one who saved him. I remember going to a funeral service of a young girl in Marshall County who died in a car accident. It was going to be a big funeral. A well-known family. And I was nervous. And I remember getting on 68 and driving toward Marshall County High School. And I just remember simply just the Lord putting and pressing upon my heart, you don't live your life for you. You live your life for the one who died for you. I mean, the simplest of statements stuck with me forever. You don't live your life for you. You live your life for the one who died for you. And not only just died for you, who now lets you live with him forever and ever and ever. What a glorious, glorious thing that is. How in the world do we go through life living nonchalantly of the beauty of Christ's death on the cross? Can you imagine? Can you imagine soldiers being chained to Paul? I mean, wow, what a nightmare for a soldier. I mean, being chained to the Apostle Paul. I mean, I bet they're saying, my time's up, it's time to get someone else in here. I mean, this guy, all he talks about is Jesus. I mean, he has told me about Jesus for the past 4 hours. It's time to get another soldier in here, chains him. And Paul's looking at him with a smile. Oh, you're going to hear about Jesus. I think it was Aaron told me earlier about Ashley Lagard, who always carried a tire iron with him. I didn't know where that was going at first. But in case someone had a flat tire, he was going to change the tire and tell them about Jesus the whole time he was doing it. They can't go anywhere. Their cars broke down. They can't go anywhere. What are they going to do? What an opportunity in that situation to be able to tell someone about Jesus. Every situation of Paul was an opportunity to share Jesus. Do we honestly look for opportunities to share Jesus? I want you to think about this. Every opportunity or every situation in your life is an opportunity to share Jesus. And he's in jail. Sometimes we look at our circumstances and our situation, well, I don't think this is really a good opportunity to share Jesus. That's not what Paul said. Paul said every situation is an opportunity to share Jesus. You know why? Because people need Jesus. People need the Lord. There is a great problem in our world. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not politics. It's sin. And sin doesn't have a color. It doesn't have a nationality. And sin affects every single person in this world. That's why there is a need. And the greatest solution We're not left with just the greatest problem. The greatest solution in this world is Jesus. And He is not only the greatest solution, He is the only solution. He is the only solution. No one else could save anyone else other than Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, you have the cure for the greatest problem. And the cure for greatest problem is Jesus Christ. He is the greatest solution. It'd be like having a cure for cancer and you just keeping it to yourself. I'm going to keep it in my room. But this is going to heal people. Yeah. How crazy is that? You and I have Jesus who's changed our life. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. So he looked at it as an opportunity to be able to share Jesus no matter what. Number two, Paul kept the goal in mind. Paul kept the goal in mind. Chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." He said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This one thing I do. Sometimes, how many times you say, "I got so many things to do, I don't even know where to start." I mean, you're already thinking about this week and all the stuff you got to do. And a matter of fact, it starts right after church. I mean, it's got to start early because I can't get everything done. But Paul says, "This one thing I do. Forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He didn't let his circumstances deter his mission. He didn't let what was going on in his life deter his mission. He kept that goal in mind. He didn't blame others for the situation he was in. Have you ever been around people who blame everyone else for what's going on in their life? He didn't play the victim. He didn't do that. He stayed focused on the task at hand. "This one thing I do, I press on." You don't look back at your past. You don't look back at your burdens or your emotions or sickness or problems, even though they are real things and it's real pain. But focusing on them can lead to spiritual paralysis because you can't get past your past. As a matter of fact, the opposing team, Satan, he brings up your past. He wants to remind you of your past. He wants to remind you of everything. He wants to throw it. Why? Because he knows it brings spiritual paralysis. And therefore, you can't hardly function because you're always looking back at your past and everything that's gone on in the past. You'll never be who God wants you to be as long as you keep looking back. Paul said, "I strain forward." We press on. Pressing on is the meaning of one stretching forward like a runner to finish line. I'm normally stopping at the finish line looking to dry heave. I stopped the whole Barbecue on the River 5K one time because I didn't know you had to run on through the thing. I was just ready to stop at the end of it. And they were crashing into me. You mean you got to lean forward as you're running. And that's the idea of a Christian that's leaning forward. He didn't let fear keep him from sharing the gospel. He didn't. Have we ever let fear move us away from sharing with someone? Fear of failure. Fear of messing it up. Fear of rejection. You know, one of the hardest things that I did in my life was sharing the gospel with my dad. my dad. I didn't know exactly where he was. We never really talked about it a whole lot. And then when he developed lung cancer, and he was progressing, I just couldn't get it off my heart and mind. And I looked for an opportunity to be able to ask him. And I'll never forget it. To my joy and surprise, he had shared with me when he came to Christ and that his love was toward Jesus. He shared that he worked a lot and that there were some things that he wished he would have done differently. But it was a great comfort to be able to hear him. But I'll never forget that's the fear, because that's my dad. But isn't there, there's no other greater conversation to know, to know, to know. And you may be in that same place this morning. If God puts it on your heart and you can't get it off your heart, that means that God wants you to share it from your heart. And sometimes that's some difficult thing to be able to share with a coworker, to be able to share with a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad or an aunt or an uncle. But man, to know. And so it's pressing forward. It's leaning forward to be able to share the gospel. Don't let the enemy throw fear up in your face. Don't do that. And number three, Paul kept Jesus in his focus. You ever lost focus? Man, I'm telling you, with stigmatism and rain and dark, it's not a good combination. And the older me and Cammy get, I mean, we just look at each other and say, we may have to hire someone to drive for us. You know, it was raining the other day. We were going from Allie's house to our house, which isn't far at all. And I mean, I almost missed the whole road. Because you got to cut back. And it was all dark to me. I lost focus. I mean, I was trying to focus, but it was all wet and it was droplets and there was everything. It was just like blur. Wasn't focused. When it's daylight, you could see a lot better, right? Man, you just lose focus. And the reason Paul kept the goal in mind is because Paul kept Christ in focus. When Christ isn't your focus, you don't keep the goal in mind. Let's just be real. You ever lost focus? And you lose focus of the goal that God's calling you to? You see, when we lose focus and when we tend to forget the goal, that's what happens. I mean, you ever seen a football player run the wrong direction? Oh, I have. I mean, what happens when they run the wrong direction? They go to the opposing team's goal, and then they realize, why, don't ever do that, okay? Stay focused. And you go there, and what's really bad is they start doing a dance, and they realize that they're in the wrong goal. Or you take a basketball, and you go to the wrong hoop. And you go in the wrong direction and you hit a basket for the other team. Some of you done it. You're just not going to admit it. What happens is you lost focus at that moment. Man, I'll never forget my time to shine at state tournament when I was a sophomore. I got put in at the very end of the game with about a minute to go. We were getting killed by 30 or 40. And I just had in my mind, when I get it, I'm shooting it. I mean, this is my last time here probably. I'm going to get it. I'm going to shoot it. And man, did it come to me and I was sweating. I turned and shot the greatest air ball you've ever seen. I lost focus. When you're in Rupp Arena, I mean, I'm used to playing in small arenas with walls in the background. But when you're in Rupp Arena, I mean, it's like a black hole. I mean, it's just empty space. It is a huge building. And it's like that goal was in the middle of nowhere and I shot it and I think it come up 25 feet short. And I didn't have the right focus or the depth. That's what happens when you lose focus of Christ. You go in the wrong direction. I don't know, maybe you're going in the wrong direction this morning. And it's simply you just lost focus. You know what you need to do? Just turn to Christ. Do you know that you may feel like you're a million miles away from Christ, and what's really amazing is all you have to do is turn around and He's right there. But sometimes it's our pride that keeps us to keep on running. Because we never want to admit that we're running in the wrong direction. We're going in the wrong way. And I want to close with this last thing. And I'll never forget a story that I read from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it was a story of a guy who was leaving. He'd got some grain for the animals. He didn't have any shoes. It's a third world country, very poor country. And he was walking down this dirt path to get back to his village up in the mountains. And there was a missionary, had an old truck, and he told him to get in. Throw the grain in the back, get in the truck, and he got in the truck, and this missionary began to share the gospel with this man. This man heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and by the time he got to his village, he was weeping and he was crying, and he gave his life to Jesus, and he was so excited that he wanted to go back to his village and tell his people about what happened in his life. He goes to the middle of the village and he begins to share his story about what Jesus Christ has done in his life. And the men of the village came and grabbed him and threw him on a table and held him down. And the women beat him with barbed wire until he passed out. They drug him outside the village, out by a tree. And when he came to, he was bloody, he was beaten. And he remembers saying, I must have done something wrong. And I've got to go back and I've got to tell them about this one who's changed my life. And he went back to that same spot and began to preach the gospel about what Jesus has done in his life. Same thing, the men grabbed him, put him on a table, held him, and the women beat him with barbed wire until he couldn't stand it no more and he passed out from the pain. They drug him outside the village again, and he woke up again a few hours later, and he was bloody and he was beaten and he was just broken. He said, I need to go back. I must have done something wrong. They need to know about this Jesus who saved my life. He goes back to the middle of the village and he begins to preach again, and they grabbed him. They threw him on a table, but this time something different happened. As they were beating him, he saw the women before he blacked out, the women crying with tears. And this time when he woke up, they were tending to his wounds and they said, we want to know this Jesus that you would be willing to give your life for. And the whole village came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even through that situation, through that circumstance, you know what happened? He kept advancing the gospel forward. When students don't follow you, Wyatt, you keep advancing forward with the gospel. Because I promise you, there is a people out there that are eager and looking to hear the Word of God. And just like me, when I came into this church many years ago, I didn't know Jesus Christ. And the gospel was preached and it opened up my heart and I became alive in Christ Jesus. You keep sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because the power isn't in you. The power is in the gospel. The faithfulness lies in you to carry the gospel everywhere you go. Let's pray. Father, as we come, as we close, we thank you for these passages of Scripture from the book of Philippians. Lord, what an encouragement it is to all of us to see that even in the circumstance that Paul was in, he kept pressing on. Lord, we read about Paul in many of the books, of his shipwreck, snake bitten, scourged, beaten, but he never let it stop him. He continued to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ because he knew there was a people who didn't know you. I pray that all of our hearts will be burdened so much for the lost that we will share our story of how you changed our life with someone else, in hopes that it may plant many seeds, in hopes that it may bring someone to salvation in your Son Jesus. So Lord, you use this message, you use the Word of God however you choose, but we know that it will not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.